Mrs. M. M. Romney, Reel 2.
Geneva, Madame Bulgar, all that, and then just come to be a lettered class. It was dreadful in those days. Well, I said yes, and I went home and asked mother and father. They thought no harm could come to that. So I waited 6 breathless weeks. Were they remembering me? Where were I going? Oh, I said one day, look, here's an envelope. It says Colchester. Oh, where was Colchester? What was Colchester doing? Where was it? And that's how I started. The Garrison Hospital.
Yes, but you're going on too quickly. What were you doing in North Devon?
Nursing.
What sort of patients?
All kinds.
Were these soldiers?
No. We had one or two very sad things that were quite hopeless. One of them had lost both arms. He ended up in the one, you know, in London, you know, for them all. You must know the one near to.
So.
In a park.
Yes. What sort of patients did you have?
Men, women and children dotted about in the 3 months. I was on night duty, shall we say, for 4 weeks. And then I had, I got scarlet fever, you see, so that got me home. But the little children, short time only. Men, yes. Because I remember one man, he was a butler, and he cut his toe, and he was going to die of gangrene of the toe. And I was sitting, you know, in the middle of the room, you know, in a nice sort of piece of paper, etc. I saw him get out of bed, walk towards me. I was terrified. I ran and fetched the angel on this earth, who was the night sister. It was 3 of us. She just poked him back to bed again. Nice man, he died. But the worst was this poor one without the arms, because that was very awkward. I had to feed him and everything. That was most awkward. And I loved the work. It was mostly when I was on night duty scrubbing the lavatories. And the matron, an old lady, she went round and she said, I would like you all to come and look at these lavatories, because they've never been scrubbed like it before. But the lettered classes naturally scrubbed them the best. They'd never been put in these jobs, and they just, they got something new to do, and they did. I scrubbed the lavatories. I never put on any dressings or anything, of course. I was a probationer.
Did your job entirely consist of cleaning?
Bed making, but no nursing. But of course you did notice. Well, they put me on the first week to take the boots off round some screens of a dead man. So I pulled one boot off and found that the person wasn't like flesh, but like hard, like wood. So I promptly fainted on the floor. They're very nice people. She said, oh, take it away, you know, just take it to her room. I don't think I did any more dead bodies there. I never have done those with dead bodies, really. And I was very happy, and that was it. But I had no knowledge of real, but you couldn't help but see. And if you've got any brains at all, you've learned quite a lot, couldn't you? What in the scrubbing?
Before you went into the Red Cross, had you ever taken care of anyone who was ill?
Never. Oh, never. Lettered classes. From the first beginning to the end. From birth to then. No. No, I never even looked after anybody with flu. No, never.
Were you upset to see people with serious injuries and serious illnesses?
Yes. Well, I should say so. I'm kind-hearted anyway. Yes, but you see, when I went to... they weren't serious at Barnstable, you see. But I would say the women were mostly vagina trouble, you know, and different things. And they, the women, I liked them. They weren't dying. None of them seemed to be dying there, from what I remember. And when they were hopeless, I gave them vagina washout. And people say to me, I tell to you, Ruby, the greatest lady I ever met was in that hospital. She just had one room up and one room down. She was a lady. She was a saint. I've remembered it. Tears in my eyes now. She was. And I loved them all, you see. It was a release from the lettered classes. That is the point. And that is why you could go to Salonika and go in a tent or where. You were released. You were free. The lettered classes. That's a great point. Of course, that isn't the war museum, but that is a great point. Well, so I left, and I say, the matron said, I want to sign you on now, but permanently, you see, I'm sign these forms. Well, I have no intention of the reason I've told you. Home I went.
What were your living accommodations like in Barnstaple? Were you in the hospital?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Quite a good hospital. The North Devon something it is, in Barnstaple. Oh, yes,
you had a room to yourself?
I think I had a cubicle. I don't remember. I remember in the middle of the night having a meal with these two whom I loved deeply. They were such good women, the night sister and the intermediate. They were angels. I mean, they really were. I hadn't met many yet. And I remember that. I remember the things. I remember the little boy whose head had lice. And so I put his little head round mine. He didn't know anything about lice until they were dropping on the table from my head. See, I never did know about lice. However, we got along. Yes.
What hours did you have to work at Barnstaple?
Of course, the normal ones, of course. I put 8 in the morning until the afternoon, really. Or we'd have a half day.
So no excuse for the leisured classes?
I went as an ordinary, absolutely probationer. The same hours, obviously because I scrubbed the lavatories in the night. And so I took all the washing up of the little things that they had, and on duty in the men's ward, sitting to see they were all asleep, or if they wanted anything, a bottle or anything, see. Yes, the exact hours, exactly the same. But I think it was 3 months, it may have been longer.
Did you get much time off to see your boyfriend?
Well, he could only come. He was the Berry Hill collieries they owned, you see, all the wagons, Berry Hill coal. He could only come the weekends, really, and stay at the hotel. No, I didn't have much. I went out for the last time and said, I'm very red on the chest here. It was a scarlet fever. And I said, I hope you don't get it. I think this must be it, but I'm not going to say so. We'll have dinner. We went back after dinner. Early hour in, you see, all very coming full. So he came down the weekend, yes. They didn't mind because, well, obviously, I mean, I was properly brought up. He was, yes. I was not going to mention this, but for you didn't give the ordinary men a bottle, but the one without the two arms. And even today it upsets me because his wife deserted him, so he's in that hospital for, you know the one I mean, in London, in the park, you may not know it, it's still there. He's probably, maybe still alive there. And of course I simply couldn't give him a bottle. So it went in the bed more likely than not. And he'd be just as embarrassed. But I didn't have to do that much. Because he would go all night, you see, into the day people would have to wash him. You had to feed him too. How sad. Oh, very sad. He was the only one. Once in the army, as an army sister, from the waist down, you never touched a man. That was World War I. They threw that aside for World War II, you understand. The orderlies in World War I did all that. A sister was a sister.
Male orderlies.
Well, of course. Really? What a child you are, yes. Yes, were they in the army?
No.
Well, then we're talking about the army, aren't we? You can forget all those. You're in the army, the regular army. It was a rule of the regular army, not whether you wanted to or not. You're talking about these who... anybody. I was, there's the classes and the army. You understand? You never, never, never did that. Never. You called orderly. Yes, sister. You were called sister. I became sister at once. No, not nurse. I was in the army. No. You never, never, but of course in World War II, which we're not talking about, oh, well, it had to be, of course. But if you're talking about the old workhouses or the ordinary hospitals, well, they always did. That was nothing fresh. But that is one of the rules, or was, in the regular army. Now you see.
Well, yes, I guess outside the army there just weren't enough male orderlies to go around.
Yes, but they were in the World War One.
So it was, let's see, 1916, about 3 months in North Devon, then you went home, recovered from scarlet fever, mm-hmm. and were called to Colchester.
No. I recovered from it and then had a notice to go to this big meeting of all of the lettered classes in a doctor's house. When that was when they said the army, the war officers asked us for anyone who's had any training in nursing. None of the lettered classes had had any training of nursing at all, had they? How could they? They wouldn't be the lettered classes. But I was the exception. Miss Collis, you, I believe, have been to Devon. See, and that was it. Oh, yes, that was it. Nobody else could do it because, well, nobody else went. And only about, there was the Honourable Rona Mostyn, Lady Mostyn's daughter. There was the Gilby's wife used to tease her, the Marquess of Graham's niece, and Hermione Littleton of the Littleton family, the Camilla Dean, they were all the society girls. I suppose I'm one of the few who was only just upper middle class. They were society women, young women, given a chance. He gave them, Lord Knutsford, gave them 3 weeks training in the London hospital at which he was the governor. And that 3 weeks got them to Colchester. You see.
Was there any trouble with these society women?
Not a bit.
They thought nursing would be soothing the fevered brow and not really hard work.
And they adored it and they did as I did. It was freedom from the jobs. They weren't very particular being presented and all that. They adored it. And Lady Littleton, Lady Mostyn came down, took a furnished house with her butler and something, and picked, I still don't know why, picked on me. To go to tea one day, because I thought she was most boring. I wouldn't now, because she had Chrysler to her private parties in that place by the In and Out Club, and you know, by High Pop. And she took me to Kent's Roses, I remember, and she turned straight away, going round the roses, being shown round, and spoke to me in French. Of course, I replied at once. I thought, suppose I hadn't. There's a classes, you see. Obviously, she spoke in French, so of course we Frenched all the way around. Then she spoke in English to the poor devil who was going about the roses. And that was the milieu in which I went. Still the registered classes. You'll see the photograph of them in that album. See? Well, three of them are there. And we got then, so some of them were not. Well, I had great trouble the moment I arrived in Colchester. Great trouble. The sister, all sisters, in charge of the house for we precious darlings, was going to marry a sergeant. That's a fate worse than death, see? Yes. I didn't know it was the biggest secret that had ever been known in Colchester. So I was put in a sort of place with someone named Carol Dempster. It's coming to me, I suppose, because I'm old. Of course, that was the thing was, she never speak to me. She, that wasn't done. I was quite safe anyway. Sister wouldn't speak to me. I'd just arrived. Doing the medicine coming out, I said, ha ha, with great excitement, you know, because I was Miss Collis from Stoke. A sister's wedding. Oh. It went to the matron in 2 minutes. Miss Collis went to the matron. Well, what had I done? They'd overlooked me at the house. There would be Graham and all these people from the aristocracy, I forget all the rest of the titles. They thought, well, she's innocuous, look at her. They never dreamt of telling me that it was all secret. Well, you quite see, don't you? They thought, well, that's up there. I have spoken, and I've spoken to them, all this, you know what I mean. You wouldn't know what it was like in those days. Well, the matron started on me, so I raised my head. I thought, well, who are you talking to me like that? My father. See, I was father's pet. And that led me to all the other parts, the occult part. I said, well, which is a big part of my life, really. She said, well, of course, I looked at her and raised my head. A tall, fine person, of course. The one, the lady, one, the army matrons. Blah, 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 like a snake. However, before she'd finished me, I was weeping. She said, well, I'll keep you. Keep me. Not send me home. What had I done? That's been my life. What had I done? She said, there's somebody in my house. I had little houses, you see. In my house. That she is... She's in my house. And she has got a gastric ulcer. She's in bed and she has to have... I am a water, you know, if you... Do.